Today, I'm preaching on three parables of Jesus from Luke chapter 15. But you know what? If you look at your English Bibles, you'll see that there are uninspired headings and titles for each of those parables. I say uninspired because those title headings are not part of the original biblical text. They're added there by the translator editors. And what are the most common titles given to these parables by the translator editors? Well, these are the titles we usually find: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. However, I would suggest some different title headings based on the actual content of the parables themselves. Here are the title headings that I would give the parables: the sacrificial shepherd, the frantic woman, and the forgiving father. I'm going to comment on each one of these parables, and then I'm going to apply their meaning to our lives today. But first, let's examine the beginning of our gospel reading, because this is the key to understanding how these parables apply to us. Luke 15:1 reads, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around Jesus to hear him." Now the question is, why were the tax collectors and sinners gathering around Jesus to hear him? Was it because Jesus was affirming their sin? No, he wasn't. Jesus was actually rebuking them for their sin, and he was also telling them that they could come to him for forgiveness and a new life. Therefore, the people who didn't want to hear about their sin, the people who didn't think they needed to be forgiven and had no intentions of changing their lives, well, they didn't gather around to hear Jesus, I'll tell you that right now. But the people who were convicted of their sin and who believed that Jesus could give them forgiveness and new life with God, oh, you bet they gathered around to hear Jesus. They couldn't wait to hear the words from his mouth. But now listen to the words of Luke 15, verse 2. "But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Now please understand, the Pharisees were good people. They were admired by all the Jews. The Pharisees went to church, they gave to charity, they did their best to obey God's commandments. And that's why the Pharisees could not understand why Jesus would eat with sinners. You see, if Jesus were really the Messiah, they were thinking, then he ought to be avoiding the sinners, and instead, he ought to be doing lunch with the Pharisees exclusively. You see, the Pharisees believed that they were the ones who were worthy of Jesus' attention, whereas those sinners, well, they weren't worthy at all. Sadly, the Pharisees understood salvation in terms of human performance. They thought like this: God will forgive you, and he will accept you if you're worthy. And how are you worthy? Well, you're worthy if your obedience is greater than your disobedience, and if your good deeds are more numerous than your bad deeds. A lot of people today think that way. But that's not how God thinks at all. God doesn't look merely at our behavior. God looks at our hearts. And when God looks at our hearts, well, then we're all on the same level, because we are all enemies of God by nature. Therefore, even though the Pharisees were doing a lot of good things, God only saw their evil motives. You see, when they did good things, they did it to impress other people. Worse yet, when they did good things, they did them to impress God and to try to convince God that they were worthy of his mercy and blessing. However, Jesus makes it clear that the Pharisees needed to repent right along with all the other sinners. And that's what the Pharisees simply could not accept. So, Jesus tells them the following parables, which are also meant for our ears, so listen closely. In the first parable, Jesus describes himself as the sacrificial shepherd. Jesus says that the good shepherd goes in search for one lost sheep, which is probably injured and not worth much anymore. Then after the good shepherd finds the lost sheep, he picks it up and he carries it home. Now, we're used to seeing pictures of Jesus smiling and effortlessly carrying a little clean white lamb on his shoulders. No. You see, the Greek word in our text for today is not the Greek word used for a little lamb. The Greek word that Jesus uses refers to an adult sheep. A big, heavy, dumb, adult sheep covered in its own excrement. A sheep that is stupid enough to wander away from its home. The good shepherd seeks out this lost sheep and carries this sheep home. And then calls others to rejoice with him. Now, after telling this surprising parable, Jesus says, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now, what do we learn from that? Well, first, we don't seek God. We don't find God. We're the ones who are lost, remember? Instead, God seeks us out, and he brings us home. But how does he do that? Through the preaching of his word. That's why it's so important to hear his word on a regular basis. However, even though God does seek us out through the preaching of his word, two things must happen if he is to bring us home. First of all, when Jesus preaches his word, he calls us to acknowledge our sin and repent of it. If we refuse to admit that we're sinners, if we refuse to admit that we're lost, then like the Pharisees, we will see no need for Jesus. So the one thing that happens through the preaching of the word is that the Holy Spirit works through the word to convict us of sin. But once the Holy Spirit does that, a second thing happens through the preaching of God's word. The Holy Spirit works through the good news to bring us to faith in Jesus. To assure us that through faith in him and his sacrifice for us, we are forgiven and holy in God's sight and have the hope of eternal life in his love. Now you can understand why the tax collectors and the sinners gathered around Jesus to hear him. You see, my friends, Jesus has placed us lost sheep on his shoulders and he has brought us back to himself. Jesus did that when he carried the burden of our sin to the cross, where he suffered God's wrath against our sin in our place. And that takes us to the second parable. In the second parable, Jesus actually describes himself as a frantic woman who searches for a lost coin. And once again, a coin can do nothing to save itself, can it? A coin doesn't seek and find its owner. No, the owner finds and seeks the lost coin. And just as the frantic woman searches for her lost coin until she finds it, Jesus seeks after lost sinners with the goal of bringing them home. And that's exactly what Jesus did for the tax collectors and sinners, and that's what he's done for us. That's why they repented and gathered around Jesus to hear his words. That's why you repent and gather around Jesus to hear his words. You were lost, but Jesus found you and brought you home. And all heaven rejoices. Now for the third parable. In the third parable, Jesus describes himself as a forgiving father who wants nothing more than for his good-for-nothing, ungrateful younger son to come home to his arms of mercy and love. Now, whom does the younger son represent? Potentially, all of us. The younger son represents people who take God's grace for granted and then run away from Him so they can live as they please. That could so easily happen to any one of us. We just take God's grace for granted and we live our lives ignoring His word, living as we please. We're all like the prodigal son, aren't we? Sadly, some people run away from God and never come home again. Some people continue to live as they please because they never recognize their utter depravity and their circumstances and how hopeless things really are. What's really sad is that some people like this eventually die in a foreign land of unbelief. And that's how they will spend all eternity. However, praise the Lord, in some cases, people who do run away from God eventually come back home before it's too late. How does that happen? That happens when people finally hit rock bottom. Just like the younger son in our story. Some people, praise the Lord, eventually realize how empty and hopeless and meaningless their life of sin and unbelief really is. Now, of course, when we do hit rock bottom, when the guilt of our sin overwhelms us, that's when the devil lies to us and wants us to think that God would never want us back. Remember how the story ends, though? When the younger son comes home, he expects that his father won't want him. But the son can't even get into the driveway before his father runs out to greet him. Of course, the son is so ashamed of his sin that he begs his father just to make him a slave. But remember what the father says? No way! You're my son, or nothing. Then the father throws a big party because his son who was dead is now alive again. His son who was lost is now found. My friends, when the Holy Spirit works through the preaching of God's word to convict you of sin and to move you to beg for God's mercy, we are just like that younger son who came back home. But here's the good news. The good news is that our Heavenly Father will not turn us away when we come to Him with our sin, nor will He grudgingly make us one of His slaves. No, the Father will embrace you and call you His dearly loved child, because that's the kind of God He is. He's a forgiving Father. So why wouldn't you want to gather around Him on a regular basis to hear His word? But don't forget about that older son. Remember him? You see, my friends, if the devil can't get us to be like that younger son who takes his father's love for granted and runs away, then the devil will try to do his best to get us to be like the older son. And whom does the older son represent? The older son represents self-righteous people who think that God owes them one. Such people not only think that they deserve God's honor and blessing because, hey, I go to church, I give offerings, I do good things, why wouldn't God love me more than those other people who don't? Such people not only think they deserve God's honor and blessing because of their many good works, but they get upset when God freely forgives people whom they think are not worthy. My friends, when Jesus talks about the older son, He's speaking to the Pharisee that lurks within each and every one of us. Many of the Pharisees in Jesus' day remained outside of God's grace and love, not because God didn't love them, but because they refused to admit that their sin was so serious that it took nothing less than the death of God's Son to deal with it. Do you take your sin that seriously? Or do you blow it off like the Pharisees did? As a result, the Pharisees rejected Jesus. They didn't even think they needed to hear His words. And they looked down on everybody else. And they remained outside of God's kingdom. May God keep us from that horrible fate. My friends, always remember that God's Son came into the world to seek and save the lost, to seek and save you and me. Today is Pentecost Sunday. On the day of Pentecost, we remember the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and the work that is particular to Him. In a nutshell, what is the work of the Holy Spirit? He works through the preaching of God's Word to do two things. First, He works through the preaching of God's Word to convict us of sin and humble us so that we hit rock bottom. But then He works through the preaching of God's Word to bring us to faith in Jesus, to call us home, so that through Jesus we might be forgiven and reconciled to God. When the Holy Spirit uses God's Word to convict you of sin and bring you to faith in Jesus, then you can know that you have mercy and love and certain hope because your Jesus is the sacrificial shepherd. He is the frantic woman. He is the forgiving Father. He is the Son of God who came into this world to save sinners like us. That's why we gather around Him on a regular basis. That's why we strive to hear His words on a regular basis. That's why we strive to live for Him. Because He is our loving, sacrificial shepherd. Let me read for you once again the fourth stanza of the sermon hymn we sang moments ago. Listen. This is a prayer. Christ, our good and faithful shepherd, watching all your lambs and sheep. Christ, the gate that guards the sheepfold, never failing vigil keep. When we stray, good shepherd, seek us. Find us, lift us, bear us home. Lamb of God, our shepherd, keep us. Let us hear your voice alone. In closing, I'd like you to listen very carefully to these words of the Apostle Paul from our second reading. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.